Log Talk Radio.
There's a little song that we sing in our movement down in the South. I don't know if you've heard it, but it has become the theme song. We shall overcome. We shall overcome. Deep in my heart, I do believe we shall overcome. Though I join hands so often with students and others behind jail bars singing it, we shall overcome. Sometimes we've had tears in our eyes when we joined together to sing it, but we still decided to sing it. We shall overcome. No, before this victory's won, some will have to get thrown in jail some more, but we shall overcome. Don't worry about us. Before the victory's won, some of us will lose jobs, but we shall overcome. Before the victory's won, even some will have to face physical death. But if physical death is the price that some must pay to free their children from a permanent psychological death, then nothing shall be more redemptive. We shall overcome. Before the victory's won, some would be misunderstood and called bad names and dismissed as rabble-rousers and agitators. But we shall overcome. And I'll tell you why. We shall overcome because the arc of the moral universe is long, but it bends toward justice. We shall overcome because Carlyle is right. No lie can live forever. We shall overcome because William Cullen Bryant is right. Truth crushed to earth will rise again. We shall overcome because James Russell Lowell is right. Truth forever on the scaffold, wrong forever on the throne. Yet that scaffold sways the future. Behind the dim unknown standeth God within the shadows, keeping watch above his own. We shall overcome because the Bible is right. You shall reap what you sow. We shall overcome. Deep in my heart, I do believe we shall overcome. And with this faith, we will go out and adjourn the councils of despair and bring new light into the dark chambers of pessimism. And we will be able to rise from the fatigue of despair to the buoyancy of hope. And this will be a great America. We will be the participants in making it so. And so as I leave you this evening, I say, walk together, children. Don't you get weary. There's a great camp meeting in the corner.
The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. And again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. The prophet and the valley of dry bones. Among those who were carried away was a young man by the name of Ezekiel, who had obviously been trained to be a priest. When we study his minute descriptions of the temple order and of the temple liturgy, when we read of his intimate knowledge of things directly or indirectly concerned with Judaism, we must conclude that he had formal training as a priest. But along with the vision that Ezekiel reveals here, along with others that he records in his book, one thing he wanted to convince Israel of, that her God had not fallen, and her God was not dead. He wanted Israel to understand that her God, as he depicts in the vision where he saw the vague outline of a man sitting upon a chariot throne, engulfed in a cloud, and with priestly functionaries going in and coming out from the mercy seat. He was saying, when he told them about wheels that he saw in the middle of wheels, and that these wheels were guarded by angels, and that these wheels had eyes, and that these wheels did not deviate from their course. He was telling Israel first about the overruling providence and power of God, and about Israel was a part of God's eternal plans and purposes. While Israel was one wheel, ever moving, and above that was another wheel, that was the Babylonian wheel. It was moving. And that above that was another wheel, which was God's universal wheel, and God's universal plan. And all of these wheels were moving, because all of God's plans are always moving. Maybe you think you have stopped him. Maybe you think you have blocked him. Maybe you can't see the movement. But God's plans never stand still. You can't bother them and you can't stop them. So the writer here tells us that angels were in God. Father, if you please. So, to Israel, we see in this vision, Babylon was a desolate place. Babylon represented a valley to Israel. A valley of depravity. A valley of disfranchisement. A valley of hopelessness. A valley of dry bones. A valley of lifelessness. In one of the great cities of the ancient time, Babylon to Israel was a valley. Someone might marvel, if Babylon was a great city, how could it be regarded by the Israelites?
What we have to understand, crossroads ancestors. We have to understand crossroads ancestors here, bringing back. Ezekiel was blind. They had blinded Ezekiel and dropped him off in the valley of dry bones. But what happened to Ezekiel? Ezekiel stood God. And he was a blind, so when we talk about crossing the ancestors, we're talking about those people that have died, those mothers, sisters, and brothers. Right now, I'm asking for reparation for for our ancestors. Now, you said, well, Bishop, why is that? Because our ancestor, which was black, picked cotton in Mississippi, Arkansas, Louisiana, sugar cane in Louisiana. They never did get paid. So we need reparation for what they owed us, okay? But you don't understand that. And when you cross over with ancestors, this is going into the full moon. A lot's going on. Psalms 94, Psalms 65, and Psalms 72, and Psalms 119. Ezekiel was in the valley of dry bones. That means he was where dead folk was at. And God asked Ezekiel, can these bones live? Ezekiel was obedient to God, and to God thou knowest. But Ezekiel was blind first. God healed his blindness because he was blind when he was put in the valley. God healed that first. So Ezekiel had said, Lord, I know it. Okay, I want to tell you, some of you are blind. Some of you would not keep the faith. And I want to read to you Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. I said, no, I'm going to play that before we get off the air. I want to tell you, all is well. We're going into crossing over our ancestors. And what does that mean? That means that is a message for many of you from your ancestors, if you just accept it, something they want to say to you. I want to get back to the Valley of Dry Bones, and I'm going to go back, and we're going to talk about that.
The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. And again he said unto me, prophesy from these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. The prophet and the valley of dry bones. Among those who were carried away was a young man by the name of Ezekiel, who had obviously been trained to be a priest. When we study his minute descriptions of the temple order and of the temple liturgy, when we read of his intimate knowledge of things directly or indirectly concerned with Judaism, we must conclude that he had formal training as a priest. Along with the vision that Ezekiel reveals here, along with others that he records in his book, one thing he wanted to convince Israel of, that her God had not fallen, and her God was not dead. He wanted Israel to understand that her God, as he depicts in the vision where he saw the vague outline of a man sitting upon a chariot throne, engulfed in a cloud, and with priestly functionaries going in and coming out from the mercy seat. He was saying, we told him about wheels that he saw in the middle of wheels. Yes. And that these wheels were guarded by angels. Yes. And that these wheels had eyes. Yes. And that these wheels did not deviate from their course. Yes. He was telling Israel first about the overruling providence and power of God.
and about Israel was a part of God's eternal plans and purposes. While Israel was one field, ever moving, and above that was another wheel. That was the Babylonian wheel. It was moving. And that above that was another wheel, which was God's universal wheel and God's universal plan. And all of these wheels were moving, because all of God's plans are always moving. Maybe you think you have stopped them. Maybe you think you have blocked them. Maybe you can't see the movement. But God's plans never stand still. You can't bother them and you can't stop them. For the writer here tells us that angels were with God.
Pray with me, if you please.
So, to Israel, we see in this vision, Babylon was a desolate place. Babylon represented a valley to Israel. A valley of depravity. A valley of disfranchisement. A valley of hopelessness. A valley of dry bones. A valley of lifelessness. In one of the great cities of the ancient time, Babylon to Israel was a valley. Someone might marvel, if Babylon was a great city, how could it be regarded by the Israelites as a valley? Well, you see, a city may be one thing to one people, or a country may mean one thing to one people, and altogether another thing to another people. When the white Europeans came to this country, embarked upon these shores, America to them was a land of promise, was a mountaintop of possibility, was a mountaintop of adventure. But to the Negro, when he embarked upon these shores, America to him was a valley. A valley of slavehood. A valley of slavery and oppression. A valley of sorrow. So that often we have to say, one of these days, I'm going to eat at the feast and pray. One of these days, the chariot of God will swing low.
I wish I had somebody here praying with me.
So that Babylon to Israel was a place of hopelessness. It was a valley of dry bones. A valley of dry bones. Well, the prophet tells it. And considering a prophet, what is a prophet anyway? Since the prophet was God's representative, God's ambassador, God's watchman there in Babylon. You know, and the word prophet can be interchanged with the word preacher. For a prophet is a preacher. And a preacher ought to be a prophet. Not a prophet such as we are told and talk about sometimes. Not a funny person. Not somebody with their head tied up or selling luck or anything like that. Not that kind of prophet. But I mean a real prophet. A prophet called of God. A prophet born of God. A prophet sent from God. A prophet inspired of God. A prophet is one who knows God of man who understand the present and out of his knowledge of the past and his insight of the present, he's able to predict the future. A prophet is one who has sight, insight, and foresight. With sight, he looks on things. With insight, he looks into things. With foresight, he looked beyond things. Such a man was Ezekiel. And he uses the symbol of a valley to describe Israel's Babylonian situation. The symbol of a valley. But you see, a valley suggests a low place between mountains. And to Israel, there were obstructing mountains. Surrounding.
That was Ezekiel talking about Ezekiel in the valley of dry bones. Ezekiel was blind when he was put in the valley. But because of his wisdom and his connection with God, Ezekiel began to see. And I want to say to you tonight, I got a message. Death told me to tell her family. It's some things that the family have to change the way they're going to change. Death stood and told me that if that would be a death in the family, but it's some things that must be done. Tell you about that. Sister William came from the spirit world to talk to you, Johnny, to tell you, Johnny, you have to stop drinking. As I cross over tonight, I invoke the spirit. The spirit of Archangel Michael and the spirit of Raphael and the spirit of Gabriel. Gabriel is the angel go back and forth with God. So is Michael, fight all evil. And Raphael is a healing angel. And I want you to know those that need to be healed tonight as I cross over all this week speaking healing to you. Now, them that need to be healed, write on a piece of paper, Raphael. And you write Raphael on the paper and take that on a white piece of paper, Raphael. And you write it down. Call me, I'll tell you what to do with it. That's for them that need to be healed. Them that ask them to be healed. And... I don't care what the doctor said. I'm talking about divine healing from God. I'm talking about healing coming from the Almighty. And Ezekiel, like I want to talk about, Ezekiel was in the valley of dry bones. Now, when I said that, he was where people was dead. Some of you don't understand. I share my ancestors. Our ancestors, which is your ancestor, my ancestor, they built America. They brought us education. They brought us all knowledge. We didn't have to go to school to get educated. We were already educated. We didn't have to go to college to get college degrees. We were building pyramids, making boats, making rocket ships. The black man. So what I'm telling you tonight, our ancestors know all secrets. All the secrets to healing, all the secrets to the knowledge of the universe. Our ancestors know all the secrets. And the ancestor is, and along with the angels, the angel Michael, Raphael, and the host of angels, all the angels always, with God always, have a host of angels with him. When I go to the book of Enoch, the angels brought Enoch up and let him sit in the presence of God. I'm praying for you and you. Somebody said, Bishop, you didn't call me. I'm sorry. And I will tell Sister Dolores about her chicken. I got to ask another young lady about the chicken. But I want to say to you tonight, as we cross over, we're getting ready to go to the next level. Now, I told some of you what to do, I shall say. Let me say it again. Crossing over with our ancestors, number two, last night. And they always have something to say to you, about you, and for your family, the ancestors. I'm picking up Sister Gladys, and Sister Gladys says she wants you, Florence, and all of y'all to know all is well, and she wants you to stay focused as Sister Gladys. I got Sister Hill here, and Sister Hill is telling me to Gloria, tell Gloria everything's going to be all right with her daughter that's been sick. Thank you, Candace. I'm going to Mr. Hurd. He told me to speak to David Hurd. Tell David there's some things that he must do, Bishop, and I want him to remain the pastor of the church. There's some things that he needs to do where he will have healing, my share said. And when I talk to the ancestor gives me a heads up of what you need to do, my share said. Now, when I come to you, he's telling you something. Now, when I walk down the road, I'm walking down the road with Sister Des, and Des walking with me. Des, what you want to say to your daughter, your granddaughter, what you want to say to your family? Des told me to tell her family that if some things got to change, the way they conduct things got to change. Des, what you want me to say? It's some herbs got to be, Ned got to get, and you got to work with her for her condition. I say, okay. Thank you. I'm going right now to Sister Misa Brown. She's in Alabama. Sister Misa Brown, what you got to say? Bishop, I want my church to continue be a haven to help young women and bring young men to God, and I want that to happen. Thank you. I say. I want to tell you tonight as I come, that doors open up and doors will be both open for you. I say. So get ready for the, now let me go back to Ezekiel. Ezekiel was in the valley of the dry bones. And the angel came. He was blind. They had blinded him and threw him in the valley. God healed his eyes where he could see. And after God healed his eyes, he could see angels. He could see in the heavenly realm. So Ezekiel took interpretation of his relationship with God is strong. I'm praying for somebody that has a problem in their chest tonight. And I'm praying for you, Helen. Praying for you that all is well. Maxine, I'm praying for you. Your grandmother said you have to sit down and you have to stop drinking because that's not the answer to your problem, my chef said. As I go into the spirit world tonight, as I cross over, Archangel Michael, Raphael, Gabriel, Sinclair, and when I cross over with the angels, they have a message for you. Now, if you got a question, okay, I see the question. Barbara, tell you all is well. And told me to tell you that everything is divine order. Mother Jackson told me to tell you, Roe, don't let nothing upset you. Stay focused. Staying open. As I cross over, and Sister Anderson come to me. Thank you, Sister Anderson. Bishop, I want you to talk to my daughter and more closer together. Sister Lena Mae Anderson, I'll do that. And she cannot bring them more closer together. I say. I want to get back tonight to crossing over with the answer. And I want to deal with Ezekiel in the valley of the dry bones. And some of you got a need to plant a seed. And the widow woman had planted a seed. And she was able to feed the neighborhood. Some of you, God will heal your body and your mind if you let go and let God. And when you let go and let God, God's going to speak healing to you. See, Ezekiel was cast away. He was a preacher. He was anointed. But evil caught up with him. So God had to step in. And God had to step in with you, I say. Answer.
The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in.
Ezekiel was saying the hand of the Lord was upon me, on him. So if God hands on you, he's going to guide you to the right place. St. Matthew 6:3, seek first the kingdom of God, the righteousness of God, and God's hand will be on you. I'm praying for you, Sister Adrian. I'm praying for you, Sister Nett. I'm praying for you, Sister Trina. I'm praying for you, Sister Goma. I'm praying for you. And I want to tell you, Mother Ann, I'm praying for you.
The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. And again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. The prophet and the valley of dry bones. Among those who were carried away was a young man by the name of Ezekiel, who had obviously been trained to be a priest. When we study his minute descriptions of the temple order and of the temple liturgy, when we read of his intimate knowledge of things directly or indirectly concerned with Judaism, we must conclude that he had formal training as a priest. But along with the vision that Ezekiel reveals here, along with others that he records in his book, one thing he wanted to convince Israel of, that her God had not fallen and her God was not dead. He wanted Israel to understand that her God, as he depicts in the vision where he saw the vague outline of a man sitting
upon a chariot throne, engulfed in a cloud, and with priestly functionaries going in and coming out from the mercy seat. He was saying, we told him about wheels that he saw in the middle of wheels, and that these wheels were guarded by angels, and that these wheels had eyes, and that these wheels did not deviate from their course. He was telling Israel first about the overruling providence and power of God, and about Israel was a part of God's eternal plans and purposes. While Israel was one wheel, ever moving, and above that was another wheel, that was the Babylonian wheel. It was moving. And that above that was another wheel, which was God's universal wheel, and God's universal plan. And all of these wheels were moving, because all of God's plans are always moving. Maybe you think you have stopped him. Maybe you think you have blocked him. Maybe you can't see the movement. But God's plans never stand still. You can't bother them and you can't stop them. For the writer here tells us that angels were with God. Pardon me, please. So, to Israel, we see in this vision, Babylon was a desolate place. Babylon represented a valley to Israel, a valley of depravity, a valley of disfranchisement, a valley of hopelessness, a valley of dry bones, a valley of lifelessness. In one of the great cities of the ancient time, Babylon to Israel was a valley. Someone might marvel, if Babylon was a great city, how could it be regarded by the Israelites as a valley? Well, you see, a city may be one thing to one people, or a country may mean one thing to one people, and altogether another thing to another people. When the white Europeans came to this country, embarked upon these shores, America to them was a land of promise, was a mountaintop of possibility, was a mountaintop of adventure. But to the Negro, when he embarked upon these shores, America to him was a valley. A valley of slavehood, a valley of slavery and oppression, a valley of sorrow, so that often we have to say, will it be a day? I'm going to eat at the feast and pray. One of these days, the chariot of God will swing low. I wish I had somebody here praying with me. So that Babylon to Israel was a place of hopelessness. It was a valley of dry bones. A valley of dry bones. Well, the prophet tells us, and considering a prophet, what is a prophet anyway? Since the prophet was God's representative, God's ambassador, God's watchman there in Babylon. You know, and the word prophet can be interchanged with the word preacher. For a prophet is a preacher. talk about sometime. Not a funny person. Not somebody with their head tied up or selling luck or anything like that. Not that kind of prophet. But I mean a real prophet. A prophet called of God. A prophet born of God. A prophet sent from God. A prophet inspired of God. A prophet in one who know the past, who understand the present, and out of his knowledge of the past and his insight of the present, he's able to predict the future. A prophet is one who has sight, insight, and foresight. With sight, he looks on things. With insight, he looks into things. With foresight, he looks beyond things. Such a man was Ezekiel. And he uses the symbol of a valley to describe Israel's Babylonian situation. The symbol of a valley. But you see, a valley suggests a low place between mountains. And to Israel, there were obstructing mountains surrounding her. Her situation in Babylon. Economic mountains. Social and political mountains. Religious mountains. Encircled and enclosed her in. And she was down there in the stagnant air of a valley in Babylon. Surah, he said that he was in the spirit. And that gives validity to it, you know. People speak a little bit about the spirit now. But I'm afraid that the church is losing a great deal of its spiritual consciousness. It wasn't unusual for folk to say when I was growing up as a boy, the spirit told me to do certain things. Or I was led by the spirit to do certain things. So that this prophet was a spiritual mind, a spirit-filled, God-conscious prophet. And he said, while being in the spirit, the Lord led him out to the valley. And then led him to the midst of the valley. And sat him down in the midst of it. But he was really saying that God led him to the heart of Israel's problem and Israel's situation in Babylon. That's what he was saying. God took him in a thorough-going survey, in a thorough-going analysis and understanding of Israel's Babylonian situation. And when the Lord had led him to the heart of Israel's problem, set him down there, then for fear that way out on the periphery of things, he'd miss something. Then the Lord led him round and about for that, or took him and encompassed for that, circled it on all sides, that he might not miss the remotest problem of Israel's situation. And when the survey was far and complete, the Lord poured the question to him. Son of man, son of man, I wish you could hear me. Can these bones live? That son of man seemed to be reminiscent of man's limitation. Reminiscent of man's finite man humanity.
Yes.
Son of man.
Yes.
Son of man, you are a scholar.
Yes.
You are an educator.
Yes.
Son of man, you are a scientist.
Yes.
Can be bones.
Yes.
Son of man, you are an engineer.
Yes.
Can be bones live.
Yes.
Son of man, you are a heart specialist.
Yes.
Son of man, you are a geologist.
Yes.
You are a botanist.
Yes.
You are a specialist in various stages of the human body. You are a psychologist and psychiatrist.
Yes.
You know all about drives and reactions and responses and tendencies.
Yes.
No, with all of this knowledge, can you tell me, can these bones live? Can these bones live? Son of man, you found pathways in the air. You have circumvented the earth. Son of man, you have found highways upon the sea. And you've made your own highways under the sea.
Now, that's God telling Ezekiel, you made the world. You know about flying. You know about submarines. You know about doctors and lawyers. So I want to tell you tonight, you are the most intelligent people on the planet, black man, black woman. Don't let nobody tell you you got to go to school, be educated. You was educated when you came here. So God was telling me, Ezekiel, you know all this stuff. But I got to wake you up to let you know what you're about. And tonight, that's what happened to Ezekiel. He woke up. God told him that he knows everything.
Speak unto death, God, I will give you a crown of life. He did not say, you understand, be thou faithful until death. And I don't know the reason why, but for some reason we softly use that verse. And for some reason we somehow misquote that valuable verse in our Bible. My God, because it does not say, be thou faithful until death. My God, but rather it says, be thou faithful unto death. And there is a difference in the word until and the word unto. Oh Lord. And that word until means to the point. But the word unto means beyond the point. Oh Lord. And until means is limited. But unto me is beyond all bounds and beyond all limits. Oh Lord. And if I think about this church and how about the Franklin brought this church from a mighty long way. Oh Lord. Yeah. Ever this show. But there were too many until members instead of unto members. Oh Lord. And Reverend Franklin, I'm with you until I disagree with you. Oh Lord. And Dr. Franklin, I'm with you until you hurt my feelings. Oh Lord. And I'm with you until you don't call my name. And that's why I'm glad dead. Oh, Lord, that hand, the road that made me run, the way that made me come. But I hear saying, don't be faithful until bad things happen, but be faithful unto death. Yes, that means that don't be faithful until death comes. But then, don't be proud of my death. Well, I must be faithful. Oh, well, for him saying, be thou faithful unto death. And I will give thee then a crown for life. Oh, yes. And I'm going to close there. And I tell you just one more thing. Well, it is said that back in the days of the Civil War, when the North and the South were at war, one with another. And you know how our forefathers yearned and burned and prayed to be free. And after a while, many of them learned that the Union Army was on their way. And one man that was on his plantation that was black born in slavery. When he heard the Union Army was coming, he got his stick and got him some rock and started down to the battlefield. Oh, and somebody said, John, where are you going with stone and stick? I heard him saying, I'm going down to the battlefield and let the Union Army win this battle. But then, some way and somehow, yes, John was shot down on that battlefield. And one of his friends walked up to him and held him in his arms. And I heard him say, if my relatives ask you how I died, and if my friends should ask you how I died, well, tell them I died on the field. But God walked up the warehouse. Oh, yes. That question, you know, was still on the field. Yes. I'm going to let you know, young man, that I hear somebody saying, where's that girl you talk about a good soldier? I heard you say that a good soldier obeys orders. And a good soldier learned how to put on his uniform and how to use his weapon. I heard you say that a good soldier is just sacrificing. But that girl, tell me, is there anything else you got to say about a good soldier? Oh, Lord, I'm only going to tell you, yes,
Compassion.